This week's Parsha, we have Parshas Veschanan. It's Shabbos Nachamu, and it's also Tu B'Av. On Shabbos itself, it's the 15th of Av, the happiest day on the Jewish calendar. Before I start, I just wanted to dedicate this L'Zecher Nishmas, my wife's grandfather, Yisrael Dov Ben Yaakov Moshe, and also for a Mibadel L'Chaim, it's Refu Shlema for Rivka Chana Bas, Tzipora Navadina Bas, Shterna, and Chaim Baruch Ben Rachamalka. She'll have a Refu Shlema. So we have all these things going on. We have this incredible Parsha that has the Aseres HaDibros. It also has the Shema, right? So this is one of the most important, if not the most important prayer that we have in Judaism, Yahadus, is Shema. It shows up here in Veschanan, while Moshe is his last 36 days, which constitutes the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy. And here, for the first time, we're introduced to Shema, which is such a central, part of our religion. And so we have all these things, but I wanted to focus on this week, the fact that Shabbos comes on Tu B'Av. So the Gemara, in Tanis on Chav Vavam Beis. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel tells us, "Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael kechamisha asar ba'av uchiyom haKippurim." There were no days as joyous for the Jewish people as the 15th of Av and as Yom Kippur. As on them the daughters of Jerusalem would go out in white clothes, which each woman borrowed from another, and then it explains that they would dance around in circles, and it was basically a time to find a mate, and they had different ways of introducing themselves to who, to find themselves a proper shidduch, a proper mate. And different, depending on where they came from, they would accentuate that quality. But the idea is that this was the happiest day on the Jewish calendar. So the Gemara asks, I understand why Yom Kippur is one of the happiest days, because this is the day that we get atonement. But why is it? What is about Tu B'Av, the Gemara asks, that would give us a reason to be so happy? Again, so these are the 2 days, the two happiest days on the calendar. The 15th of Av is one of them. So the Gemara then, in Ta'anis, goes through a list of different things that occurred on Tu B'Av. Now, what's interesting is the same Gemara, tells us about all the bad things that happened on Tisha B'Av. So on the 9th of Av, we had all these horrible calamities, became a day of horrible and terrible suffering and terrible tragedy for the Jewish people. And then we turn, 6 days later, we have a Tu B'Av. So the Gemara lists for us at least 7 different things that happened on Tu B'Av. In terms of the earliest event that occurred, the fact is that the Jewish people at the end of the 40th year of being in the desert, right before they're going to go into the land of Israel, God had made a proclamation, that an edict, that all those who had been involved in the sin of the spies, they all were going to die out. So any man between the ages of 20 and 60 would die during those years. It was at the last year. Every year, the tradition was that every year they would dig their graves, and they would go to sleep that night, expecting the worst, and 15,000 perished each year. When it came to the last year, it was when the edict ended, that meaning that all those who came in and dug those graves and went into the pits, they survived on the 9th, but they weren't sure that they got the date right. The 10th, they went back. The 11th, the 12th, when they got to the full moon, became clear that they had been spared. And so it became this incredible, incredible happy day. But the truth is, if we look at the Gemara in Tanis, and we look at the list of the things, there's something going on, there's a theme. And what's that theme? So first, the tribes could now intermarry. And this goes back to the story of the Bnos Tzlafchad. The daughters of Tzlafchad came, and they said that they felt that they were entitled to inheritance of their father's Yerusha, in terms of his inheritance of the land in the land of Israel. And Moshe came back with the answer from God that they were right. And then the tribe complained that if they were able to marry outside the tribe, that those lands would then transfer to another tribe. So then it came down that they would have to marry within their tribe. It's on the 15th of Tu B'Av that they were allowed to marry any of the tribes, meaning that there was no longer this only marrying within the tribe issue. The same thing occurs. There's a whole story about the tribe of Benjamin, that they had committed a horrible sin of Pelegish Begivah. That's another whole story. But they were the Jewish people, the rest of the tribes came and fought them, and then they would not allow anybody to marry from the tribe of Benjamin. On the 15th of Av, it happens to be that later on, this edict was also reversed. There's another, I can go on the list, but just another example of a great thing that happened on Tu B'Av is that during the time of the destruction of the temple, there was a city, Beitar, where all the Jews were wiped out, and the Romans did not allow the people to be buried. It was on the 15th of Av that they were allowed to finally come and bury the people, and miraculously, the bodies did not decompose, and they were able to bury them. Now, as we go on, one other last one that I'm going to give, it just to round it out, because there's a theme here that we can see is that on the 15th of Av, if you look at what goes on in the world, that the sun starts to weaken, and so at that point, whatever wood that was chopped for the Beis HaMikdash for the temple, it was not the sun was no longer didn't have its strength, and so therefore they stopped chopping the wood, and that the idea was that that at this point of the year, you see that the sun doesn't rise as early as it usually does. It starts to the days start to get shorter, and so the idea is that there's going to be an increase in the night, and that is a time for Torah study. So the theme that seems to come out from this Gemara in Tanis about Tu B'Av is that part of the joy of Tu B'Av is the idea of this a new start, that there's a future. The idea that the girls are going out and dancing, looking for a mate, and the idea that all of a sudden now the tribes can marry one amongst each other, the idea that they could bury those who could not be buried, the idea that you had a generation that thought that they were going to perish in the desert, but now they realized that they had been spared. And the idea that now the nights are going to get longer and that you can now study longer and be able to grow is that this idea of Tu B'Av, the joy of a Tu B'Av, is that after the 9th of Av and all the tragedy, we can come to the 15th of the same month and things can shift. And so as we entered this month of Av, it became Mishanichnas Av Matim B'Simcha, there was a decrease in our joy. When we get to the middle of the month, there's a shift. Shabbos Nachamu. What is Nechama? Nechama means to be comforted on one hand, but Nechama, Vayinachem, is also to see things from a new perspective. And when a person has that ability to shift and to be allowed to now do things differently that they had not been able to do before, that there's a new lease on life, that's the most incredible joy that a person can experience. And so that when we come to a Tu B'Av, it's a very important time to take pause and to realize, where is this joy coming from? After sitting on the floor, after crying about the idea of the fact that we lost our temple and we still are missing that, and there's something as a void in our lives, but at the same time, we can get to the 15th of Av and we can have this incredible shift, the paradigm shift, that we can now move forward and that there's a future ahead of us. And that's the most important thing to always have in mind, that there's hope and that we can now be able to turn over and be able to start moving in a direction of a positive, in a positive way, and to be able to grow and go forward. What's interesting about the Aseres HaDibros is that the first of those of the Ten Commandments is that God says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem, your Lord, who took you out from the land of Egypt. What's incredible about this is we see that this is actually following a pattern that we have coming earlier. We have this idea that the Ramban tells us about Masa Avos Simul Banim, that what happened to the forefathers, our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is a foreshadow, is a sign for the future of the Jewish people. And if we look at when God talked to Avram in Bereshis Tesvav, Genesis 15, at the Bris Ben Besorim, he also identifies himself not as many different things that God can attribute to himself, as he could say, "Here I am, I'm God, I created the world, I'm this and that." But God says to Avram, "Ani Hashem asher hotzeicha me'or kasdim." He identifies himself as the one who took him out from Or Kasdim. The idea is that Hashem is expressing, he's identifying with Avraham. And so too, when it comes to the Ten Commandments, when God turns to us and he reveals himself to us, its identification is vis-a-vis relationship with us. He took us out from the land of Egypt. The idea that we, the Jewish people, have this special relationship with God, I think is very much, it's embedded in this simple sentence. But this is so important for us to realize that when Hashem is turning to us and he says, "I am the one who took you out from Egypt," he could identify himself as many things, unlimited in terms of what he does and what he is. But Elamai, but what he identifies as the one who took us out of Egypt, because that is, he's saying to us, "I connect to you, I relate to you, this is who I am, I identify with you." And so I think that that's the idea of what, when we say Shema, and perhaps that's where this comes from, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Rashi tells us, when we say Hashem, you're one, and that Hashem, you're our God, but you're Hashem Echad, that he's not necessarily recognized as one. It's not that the whole world identifies that Hashem is the one God. La'atilavo, that in the future, God willing, when Mashiach comes, there'll be that idea, that it'll be a universal accepted concept. And so the idea is that, again, what we're trying to get to is that there is this connection and relationship between us, the people, the world, humanity, and Hashem. That's the ultimate, that when we have a universal understanding, a recognition that everybody understands, that's Hashem Echad. And so it starts with the Ten Commandments. When Hashem says, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeicha," I am Hashem who took you out from Egypt. I'm identifying myself in relationship to you. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that ultimately Hashem is one, will be not something that's just understood by us, but universally. And that's what we hope for, that the Mashiach will come one day and there'll be a universal understanding of Hashem's oneness. And that will, as a complete humanity, we'll all be able to recognize Hashem and be able to connect and relate in the deepest way possible. And so God willing, as we turn we turn and we shift and we pivot, in this Tu B'Av, Shabbos Nachamu, Hashem should bless us, that we should all be able to rise up and take advantage of this incredible time. The energy that's embedded in this time of the year is that of a pivot, to be able to go forward in a positive comfort, change, but change in the way that we're moving towards a much more positive future. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.